Good morning. Today I'll be reading John chapter 4, verses 23 through 24. That is John chapter 4, verses 23 through 24. And it says, "But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth."
Thanks, Dion. Good morning. Good morning. It is good to see you, and it is good to be seen. That's what I've been told. So thankful for that this morning. We have a few more among our number that I happen to know that are not well. Amanda has got a bug, and Corey is... They have something going around in their house. They've had a little while. Gordon's home with some illness. So please keep them in your prayers as well. I want to encourage you, by the way, right outside in the foyer, we've got a big bottle of hand sanitizer. And we love each other. And if we love each other a lot, we don't want to share those germs. So you pop some of that stuff, and then we'll keep those things from spreading around as much as possible. I read recently... A preacher friend of mine said, "Well, you know, our congregation has evolved the holy kiss to the holy hug to the holy handshake to the fist bump now." Trying to keep those germs from going around. So I do understand that. You know, following our theme for the year, this idea of I want to do what? Well, I want to challenge you today with the idea that I want to... be enthusiastic. I want to be excited. I want to look forward to my opportunities to go and worship God. Whew. There was a brother that I knew up in Memphis, Tennessee. And he said, "You know, folks, we'll go together to watch," and this is a long time ago, okay, so go with me. He said, "We go to the pyramid and watch the Grizzlies play, and when they play, we're just cheering them on because they're slam dunking, and I'm slam dunking points, and I can't even get an amen." I want to engage you this morning. Let's think about what we're doing here together. We're here to worship God, amen? And worshiping Him in spirit means that we're going to engage ourselves in this idea of worship. Having some desire, some looking forward to being with our brothers and sisters who have that commonality in the gospel. Those who have a desire to come before our God, and we're so very thankful to be together. You know, but I heard a preacher one time who said something that I will never, ever, ever forget. I think I understand the reasoning behind it. But he missed a point, I really believe, very severely. He said, you know, nobody has the right. Because when we talk about worshiping in spirit, we often think about singing, right? Here's what he said. Nobody has the right to tell you how to praise God. That's what he said. And he said that two or three times. And you know what? Giving him the benefit of the doubt, my guess is that he may have gone someplace and worshiped with some brothers and sisters in Christ where they were disengaged and people were just, you know, saying, "Here we are, we're here, we clocked in, and it's our yawn fest, and it's time to go home in a little while." And because of their disengagement, he began to think about what Jesus said, as Matthew records for us at chapter 23 and verse 27. He said, "Woe unto you, you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you liken to whited sepulchres or whitewashed tombs or graves, which indeed appear beautiful on the outside, but are within full of dead men's bones, and of all uncleanliness are they stink." Now, folks, I challenge the thought that nobody has the right to tell us how to praise God. And you know why? Because when we look within the pages of God's Word, we see that He has given us those things every time that He would have us to do to worship Him. And if you can find one time where a man-made worship pleased God, show me. We could spend the rest of our time together with me talking to you about the times when God gave directions on what to do and people disregarded that. And He punished. You know, it seems to me that in as much as when we think about worshiping in spirit, we automatically go to the singing portion of the worship. Folks, worshiping in spirit involves every single part of the opportunity that we have to worship before God. Every part. We're to be engaged in every part. And I want to challenge you with this thought today. I look forward to going to worship. Now, sometimes we might say, well, you know, when Brother so-and-so gets up and he's going to pray, well, you know, it's going to be a while. Darren talked about in class a fellow that had a bad habit of getting up and praying. And one time he got up and prayed. He was always praying, you know, 10, 12 minutes. Got up and prayed one time, and all of a sudden it got quiet, and I figured out he had died up there. Now, that would be a tragic thing to witness, but it's almost, you know, it's kind of comical. You think the guy was praying so long nobody even thought to check. But what does that say about us and what we're doing in the worship setting? You see, as we grow as God's people, this is something that we need to grow in. Did you realize that God built you? You are designed to worship. Did you know that? You are designed to worship. The wisdom we find in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13 is this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the what? The duty of man. He designed us to worship. But He also designed us with the power of choice. So will we engage? Will we worship? Or will we simply be placeholders? Worshiping in spirit means that we're going to be those who are going to be engaged. Hey, but I'm afraid that what we have in our mind's eye, when someone says we need to be filled with the Spirit, they think that means running up and down the aisles with your hair on fire. We got to be out of control. When has God ever taken somebody beyond their control in something like that? No, when somebody's acting and all out and got all kinds of stuff going on, and we read over and over again, they were in demon possession. The devil's really good at confusing all of these things. He's really good at that, so that he can steal our passion for God. He can steal our passion for worship. He can steal our passion for taking the gospel out, because what the devil wants to do is convince us that the gospel is not as strong as it was in the days of the apostles, and nobody wants to hear that anymore. We don't need to invite folks in unless we have some large entertainment program. But when we worship in spirit, it is because we are engaged. And in the first century church, when people in those days began to get really enthusiastic and excited about that, it's time to go to worship and I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to get in there. And then folks, you know, like we were talking about earlier, some people want to run up and down the aisles. That's why Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14:40, and I know I left the S off of there, sorry. Let all things be done decently and in order. And running up and down the aisle like I got my hair on fire is not necessarily decently in order, is it? But being engaged in every portion of worship, having my mind focused on the God above, and as I come and looking forward to those opportunities, is such a great thing. Because we go from the waving and hair on fire behavior to solemn, dead. I'm here. Preacher, I'm here. Aren't you happy? Don't look like you are. I made it. God bless you. Because you have another opportunity to worship. I believe as we look into the pages of the Holy Writ, what we're going to find is there is a balance in that Bible that tells us how we can be engaged as God's people in every act of worship. And he tells us what it looks like. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and we look at chapter 5, and there we find some fascinating things as we get down to verse 19. Read with me there. You know, I told folks yesterday at Terra, I said, I'm all about electronic media. I do love electronic things, tablets, phones, you know, however you have your Bible. But there's nothing that says, go get them, boy, like hearing those pages turn when we, you know, and say, let's go to the scripture. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Be not drunk with wine, as is his excess, he says, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves. Oh, this is telling me how it looks. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. What does it look like? It doesn't look like drunk, out of control, bad decisions. We don't know what we're doing. No. It looks like speaking to one another in psalms, which means to pluck, by the way. Pluck what? Pluck the strings of the heart. And how do we know that? Because that's the only way we have to be able to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music in your what? Your hearts. To the Lord, giving thanks always to God and the Father for each other. Each other, thanking God for each other. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and submitting to one another out of reverence for our mighty God. The Lord, by the inspired hand of Paul, brings us quite a challenge, quite a charge there. He says that we are to be filled with the Spirit. This means that I am going to decide, God's given me that power of decision, he's not taking that away. That means I'm going to decide to let God truly take control of my thoughts, my life, and my being. He is to be given the reins in our lives. But we've spent so many decades with so many excuses. Well, that doesn't make sense. Surely I need to be in control of this part of my life. No. God should be on the top of our list in every portion of our lives. But we become so filled with ourselves that we have a really hard time allowing God to be the guide. Could it be that even in worship, we get so wrapped up about ourselves that we find ourselves not even at odds with each other, but at odds with God? We find ourselves maybe saying, well, it's Sunday. I got to go to church. It's Sunday. Are we going to Bible study? Really? That's a signal for a problem right there. It's Sunday. Whew. I find it interesting that when we look at what it means to worship in spirit, that's the thing that Paul puts on top of his list as we look here in Ephesians 5. He tells us what it means to have a life that is filled with the Spirit in our marriages, our families, our work life, even our struggle with the enemy. But I find it most interesting that he begins with this idea of worship to God. When Paul begins to do this, he is saying here, we we need to examine ourselves. And we don't like to do that so much, do we? Stephanie, who, by the way, is home with a problem with her stomach, says, Jeff, don't get on the scale and weigh every day. She says, don't do that. They say don't do that. Folks, when it comes to our spirituality and our relationship with God, we got to get on that scale every day. Every day. We've got to see where we are. We can't afford to be walking any distance from God. I've stood over too many graves not to know that life is gone in a moment. We need to know where we are. And when we get the opportunity to come to worship, oh, thank God that we have this time that we can come and be before Him, that we can come sing praises to Him, that we can engage in prayer. You know, when we talk about what Paul says here in Ephesians 5, he says, speaking to yourselves, and the Greek word there is leo, L-A-L-E-O would be the transliteration for it. That means a sound by the movement of the tongue. Literally, it means la, 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 ti-da. That's what it means. The command here is for us to speak to one another and to ourselves, which means that when we come into worship, we are to sing. And I realize for some of us it may more be a joyful noise to others. I get that. But we are to open our mouths to participate in worship, to be engaged in our presentation to God. We didn't come to watch worship. We came to worship the God, and He is watching us. Each and every one. Some might say, well, you don't understand, Jeff. I can't sing. Let me take you back to the book of Exodus. There was a man named Moses. And when God told him, I want you to go to the children of Israel and I want you to lead them out, what did he say? He said, oh, I'm not an eloquent speaker. God said, who made your mouth? So who made your mouth? We can engage. We can be those who worship in spirit, looking forward to these opportunities, looking forward to this time that we have together. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 14. What is it then? Watch this. Not only sing, but I will pray with the Spirit. Did you get that? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will sing with the Spirit. Both of these with the understanding. When we make a joyful noise as we sing in the Spirit, we open our mouths before God. And notice here that Paul is indicating as well that we should pray. I made myself a note. That's what I was looking at, and this is the reason why I wanted to remember this. Because I'm starting on my toes now, okay? I want you to understand this. But if God walked in this room right now, if Jesus walked up that aisle and He said to you, here's a pop quiz, tell me three things the guy that led opening prayer this morning said. Just three. And he said, well, just tell me two. Well, just tell me one. Well, he said, amen. That doesn't count. Are we engaged? That's what I'm getting at is that... And it happens to us sometimes, and we've got to be thinking about that. When we come together to worship God and worship Him in spirit, we need to be engaged. But sometimes we get caught in just the repetition of doing things. Matthew chapter 6, we get to verse 7. Jesus gives this admonition, if you will. But when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do. They think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like to them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you even ask Him. So after this manner, pray. So He's telling us even how to pray in the Spirit. Watch this. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh, that we're coming before the mighty God. And then He makes a statement, thy kingdom come. Well, it did come, as we read in the book of Acts. And Mark chapter 9 and verse 1 records for us that Jesus said there would be some standing there that would not die before they had seen the kingdom come. So we know that that came to be. And then watch this. He says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Oh, that we would clean our hearts as we come before the Master. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. What about heartfelt prayer? How is your prayer life? I'm not talking about a nod before we eat. I'm talking about actual prayer life. I have often encouraged people, go for a walk and talk with God. And these days you can put on a Bluetooth headphone and people will think you're talking on the phone, so they won't think you're talking to yourself. Just go have a good long talk with God. And let Him know everything. Things you wouldn't tell the people who are closest to you, take Him every bit of it. So that when we come together to worship, we're so much looking forward to it that nothing could keep us away. And nothing is going to get us stuck in some rut, which is nothing more than a grave without an end. Nothing is going to get us stuck there. We're not going to get stuck in those vain phrases, those repeated phrases over and over again. And when we're being led in prayer in the assembly, we're going to be quiet, not because we're just trying to be quiet, but because we want to hear and to share with the one who's leading us in prayer. Fully engaged, hearing and comprehending what is said as well as someone who is preaching. It was said to me yesterday, Jeff, you're a little bit animated. And I realize, compared to the way some people preach, yeah, I probably am a little animated. I get really, sometimes really excited about the gospel and sharing that with others. And you know, I've preached long enough that I've seen plenty of this. So if I can do something to engage thought, if I can move, I'm going to do that. So that as we study from God's word together, that we can all grow together. You know, Brother Mac Lyon was the host for a television program for decades called In Search of the Lord's Way. Brother Lyons was a good friend in the latter portion of his life when I got to know him, and I appreciated him so much. And one afternoon we had been over in Jasper, Alabama, and we were there. I had preached, and I mentioned to him, I said, you know, when I looked out in the crowd and I saw you sitting there, I thought you needed to be up here and I needed to be down there taking notes. He said, oh, Jeff, let me tell you about the first job that I got preaching. He said, I went to that congregation and I preached my heart out. And that Sunday afternoon, the men met and the elders met. And then that Sunday night, I did it again. I preached all that I had. And I thought, wow, that's great. And he said, at the close of the Sunday night service, one of the elders got up and said, brothers and sisters, we have decided that we're going to hire Brother Mac Lyons to be our preacher. Not because he can preach very well, but because he wants to so bad. Wow. When we come and we gather to hear God's word, yeah, there's a lot of different ways to present that, but if we will click our minds into what's going on, friends, I'm telling you, and drink from this well, we will never be disappointed. Jesus shows us what it looks like to have this great great concern to be engaged and to do what the Father wants us to do above all else, as we look there in Luke chapter 22. There we see verse 41 beginning where he's praying that the Father would take those things, those burdens away from him, and he was praying so diligently that the sweat was coming down. It was drops of blood. And those who study medicine say that the capillaries can break in one's face because of the stress and the strain. And yet he wanted to do what the Father would have him to do so badly, even knowing the pain that he would suffer. A little while ago, we gathered around the Lord's table. We thought about those things concerning our Savior as he died on that cross of Calvary, looking at 1 Corinthians 11, knowing that Jesus died on that cross and provided for us this memorial, that we would come before him and remember what Jesus did for us. Worshiping in spirit as we memorialize his death, burial, and resurrection means that we will take ourselves back to that moment, thinking about what he did for us. And we can decide to do that. As much as we can decide to do anything else, we can decide to do that. Oh, how blessed we are to have a God who loves us so much that he would send his Son to die on that cross at Calvary for us and give us an opportunity to worship him each and every Sunday in a land that is free, that allows us to do that. And then as we read, we have the opportunity to give to the furtherance of that work. Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to go to heaven? Amen. Now, with that in mind, do you want to go there by yourself? Not going to be much fun. I don't even like to be home by myself. So that means we want to take as many with us as we can. And we do that by sharing the gospel with others. And some of the ways that we do that are by giving to the Lord's work that it might further the gospel. We read in 2 Corinthians 9 that if we sow sparingly, we're going to reap sparingly. But if we sow liberally, we will reap liberally. Isn't it interesting how when we really look at God's word and we read verses like worship in spirit and truth, and everybody goes like, it's right there. He tells us how to do it. He tells us what it looks like, and he tells us what it feels like. When we get to what Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 12, he says there, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercy of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. We're giving of ourselves, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Worshiping in spirit, he tells us what it looks like, and now he tells us what it feels like. Do you get that? It means feeling like giving, not getting. You know, there is nothing that I enjoy more than to go see my grandchildren and to have M&Ms for them. They know I'm going to have M&Ms when I show up. They're looking forward to my M&Ms when I come. And I'm looking forward to giving them to them because I just enjoy watching them. They just smile and have a great time. I enjoy pleasing them. What if we looked at our worship before God in the same way? I'm looking forward to coming to be with him, and I'm going to give because I want to please him. These are things we can do. We can do and be engaged in every portion of his worship. Worship before God in spirit feels like transformation, not tribulation. Paul says, choose to be transformed. Worship is what I get to do, not what I have to do. opportunities to study the Bible with my brothers and sisters is what I get to do, not what I have to do. If we could pick up a phone and call to eternity's side, I wonder how many would say, oh, if I just had one more chance. It's what we get to do. Shouldn't we be joyful in that? Shouldn't we be joyful in a God who loves us to provide us with even another opportunity to this day? Thanks be to God that we have this place to come together to worship. Now, I know it's raining outside today. And sometimes it gets too warm inside. Sometimes it gets too cool inside. Sometimes it's this and sometimes it's that. But we get another opportunity to look to our God and offer worship to Him. Oh, how thankful we need to be for that. So, folks, I'm going to say this again this morning, and you've heard me say it so many times, and sometimes I feel like the teacher in Charlie Brown. Notice who you don't see, please. And if you don't notice anybody you don't see, ask me, and I'll give you a list of names. And let them know that we miss them when we come to worship our mighty God. He is so good to us. Worshiping Him feels like giving. Not getting. I pour out myself before Him on the altar of worship. Why? Because I love Him. Why? Because He first loved me. Do you love Him? Do you really love Him? Would you trust Him enough to truly believe Him and all that He says? I'm sure someone here this morning has thought about their relationship with God and has said, as we have looked through the pages of His Word this morning, yeah, there's some places where I've missed the mark. Maybe I've never been fully obedient to God, meaning that I've never made a change. He tells us that we need to believe in Him enough to trust Him and make a change. We see there in John chapter 8 and verse 24 and in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, that change that I'm talking about is what He calls repentance. And Jesus tells us as well that we need to confess Him before others. Have you done that? Confess that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and have your sins washed away in that humble and obedient act of baptism. It is there we find salvation. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 tells us it's there where sins are washed away. That's not Jeff speaking, that's God. But maybe you've done that. And you found that somehow, some way in your life, that you laid the crown down. Something got your attention. Maybe it was the rut, it was the daily walk in life. Maybe it was that sin that became an idol and you just didn't want to let go of it. Maybe whatever it might be, today is the day to make all things right with Him. Truly worship Him and worship Him in spirit. This morning, if you find yourself distanced from God for whatever reason it might be, don't wait, friend. Be His now as together we stand and sing.